Heavenly Father, as we listen to and reflect and meditate on your word this morning, we ask that you would transform our hearts, all to your honor and glory. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if we haven't met yet, I'm so glad to be with you all this morning. My name is Drew Haltom. I'm one of the associate pastors here on staff, and it's good to be with you this morning. My wife and I, about a month ago, celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary, and so I was thinking about the summer when we were married. I was living in Fort Worth, Texas, and my wife was living in Memphis, Tennessee, where our wedding was, and so my dad generously covered the cost of my flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Memphis for all of our wedding festivities. The morning of my flight, my dad called me with the flight info. Terminal E, he told me, which I thought was weird because I had flown out of DFW a lot at this time, at this point, and I had never stepped foot in Terminal E, but I took my dad at his word and headed for the first time in my life to Terminal E. So I walked in to check the departure board, as you do, and I realized why I'd never been in Terminal E before, because at the DFW airport, Terminal E is the international terminal. And a flight from DFW to Memphis is not an international flight. And so I called my dad back, and he checked again, and he said, "Oh, whoops, it's not Terminal E, it's Terminal B," which sounds a lot like E. Terminal B. And so here's an interesting fact. I didn't realize this until this week when I was doing some research, some important sermon research. Do you know, I did realize this first part, do you know that the number one busiest passenger airport in the world, do you know what it is? Yeah, here in Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson, this is the part I didn't know. Do you know what number two is? It's Dallas-Fort Worth, where I found myself in the wrong terminal. So just like here in Atlanta, it's not a very quick thing to move from terminal to terminal. And so I hustled over to Terminal B, and at this point, I was definitely on pace to miss my flight to my own wedding. I needed security to be short, which never happens. And so I'm standing in the long security line, looking nervous, frantically sort of pacing, and an attendant comes up to me to check my boarding pass. Maybe I looked suspicious, I don't know. And when he saw my boarding pass, he said, "Oh, Mr. Haltom, you're not supposed to be in this line. You're supposed to be in that line." I had no idea what was going on, but I looked, and that line was much shorter, so I took it. Got through the line quickly, hustled to my flight. Right as they were closing the door, I made it in. Awesome. Walked onto the airplane and was not sitting like I'm used to in the back of the plane, but was sitting in the very front. And so it turns out that on that day, flying to my wedding, I got an unexpected upgrade. My dad purchased me a regular plane ticket just like I'm used to having. It's never happened before and it's never happened since. But American Airlines on that day elevated me to a higher position. And so on a surface reading, Jesus is giving some sage wisdom here in the gospel reading that we just heard. He says, take the lower seat so that you're honored when you're unexpectedly elevated to a higher position, just like I was honored that day by American Airlines. But there's something deeper going on here, too, underneath that surface-level reading. Jesus is communicating a radical and a subversive message about what his kingdom is like and how it's opposed to, at conflict with, the kingdoms of this world. So let's turn to Luke chapter 14 and learn from Jesus this morning. So I invite you to turn back in your bulletin or open up a Bible and turn to Luke 14 with me. I think there's some intentional comedy going on in verse 1 and verse 7. So we see in the first verse of Luke 14, on a Sabbath day, Jesus went to dine with a ruler of the Pharisees at his house, and Luke tells us that all of the Pharisees were watching him carefully to see what Jesus would do. And then look at verse 7. We see Jesus is at this meal, and he tells a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose places of honor. So they're watching Jesus carefully, and Jesus, in turn, is watching them carefully, and he notices something about what they're doing, and he turns it into a parable. So in order to understand this parable, we have to understand a few important elements of this first century culture in which Jesus lived. So first of all, hospitality was critical. Hospitality was crucial to this culture, and meals were always at the center of hospitality. Meals weren't just functional, something practical that we have to eat, but meals were an opportunity for intimate connection and fellowship with other people. Another important cultural norm is that social status was hugely important. Everyone was aware of the social ladder, and everyone would have been aware of where they are on the ladder and where everyone else is on the ladder. So if you were to have a feast like this, you would be aware of your place on the social ladder, and you would invite people who are near you on the social ladder or above you on the social ladder. And we see that social status showing up even here in this passage. It shows up everywhere. Even we see Jesus critiquing how they sit according to social status. So Jesus looks around the room and he observes people sitting in their appropriate spots. And he says, wouldn't you be better off if you didn't sit in the high spot, but you sat in the low spot so that you're honored when the host says, hey, come sit in this more honored position. And how embarrassing would it be if you sit in this honored spot and your host comes and says, actually, someone more important than you just showed up, so you go sit over there. And then Jesus says this in verse 11, and this is kind of the theme of this passage. He says in verse 11, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the kingdom reality that Jesus is getting at in this passage. Jesus is thinking, look at you with your kingdom. I see you and your kingdom and your social statuses, your social ladders. My kingdom, the kingdom that I have come to bring, is not like this one. It's not like your kingdom. It's the complete opposite. You might think that it's upside down. I think actually that it's right side up. Now, this is a prominent theme throughout Luke's gospel, this upside down or right side up kingdom that Jesus came to bring. We see it right off the bat in Luke's gospel, in Mary's song, the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1. Listen to just a couple of verses of Mary's song. She says, God has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, behold, some who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. And then in chapter 18, he says the same thing that he says in chapter 14 that we just read. So it must be important. This is something that apparently Jesus was going around repeating. He says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus came to bring a new kingdom. He announces his ministry with these words in Mark chapter 1. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn from your ways, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel. And what Jesus is communicating in this parable and throughout many of his parables is that the values of this inbreaking kingdom, the new kingdom that Jesus has come to bring, are at odds with the values of the kingdoms of this world. Dallas Willard calls this the great inversion. We humans live in upside-down kingdoms, contrary to the ways that God desires for us to live. And Jesus came to make things right-sided. Jesus came to right-size this new kingdom. In the kingdoms of our world, power is valued over goodness. Strength is valued over humility. Wealth is valued over generosity. Individualism, what's best, what's good for me, is valued over the common good. And Jesus comes to bring this new kingdom, this right-sided, upside-down kingdom, the great inversion. So Jesus is showing us what his kingdom is like and how his value, the values of his kingdom, conflict with the values of the kingdoms of this world. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us? Dallas Willard also calls life in the kingdom of God the good life. And I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy, I want to live the good life. He says that the good life is life in the life of God. The good life is life in the life of God, which is life in the kingdom of God. So if you want to live in this kingdom that Jesus came to bring, it means learning the values, learning the ways of this new kingdom. And one thing that it means for us is that it's a call to take the lower seat. Take the lower seat. Whoever humbles himself, this is the one who will be exalted. Take the lower seat. How? How do we take the lower seat? Three suggestions for you this morning. First is we take the lower seat by following the king. Follow the king. In his kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, the king, Jesus, doesn't hoard and grasp for power, but he willingly lays down his own life. Jesus is a king who is utterly and completely unique from every other leader that the world has ever known or seen. So look at this king. Look at Jesus, who lowered himself, ultimately lowered himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we might be raised to new life in him. Look at our king. Look at how he lowered himself, and let his humility stir up humility in you. So follow the king. Immerse yourself in scripture. Soak up scripture. Live in the gospels. Live in the gospel accounts, learning from, watching Jesus. Follow the king. One place that we regularly get to commune with the king and learn what it is to follow the king is in communion. Remember that meals were an integral part of this first century hospitality. Meals were an opportunity for great and special intimacy between friends. And in communion, Jesus invites us to a meal. I think about the great marriage supper of the Lamb that we see pictured in Revelation. And in communion, we participate here and now in this great marriage supper of the Lamb, this feast with our King Jesus. So take the lower seat by following the King. Second, take the lower seat by knowing your place, by knowing my place. Know your place. You are, this is hard for 21st century Western people to hear, so brace yourselves. You are not the king, all right? I am not the king. I am a servant. You're not the one who's making things happen. You're simply a participant in what God is doing. You're not the king, so know your place. One way that we can know our place and we can sort of massage this reality into our hearts is to regularly confess our sins, to take inventory of our lives and be honest about the ways that we fall short. It's one of the things I love about our Anglican tradition. Every time we come together for a Eucharist service, we always confess our sins together and receive absolution. We look to Jesus for forgiveness. And in our Anglican tradition, if you do morning and evening prayer, we confess our sins regularly every single day. Confess your sins. Know your place. Another way that we know our place, as we confess our sins and as we pray, is by kneeling. Is by kneeling. Kneeling is the great equalizer. Because we all kneel before our King. Children and adults, lay people, deacons, priests, and bishops, the person who has been walking with Jesus for 80 years and the person who has been walking with Jesus for 8 days. We all kneel before the King. We all kneel as beloved sinners in need of Christ's redeeming love. So know your place. The third suggestion that I have for you, how do we take the lower seat, comes from the next parable that Jesus tells. So look with me, beginning with verse 12, Luke chapter 14, verse 12. So Jesus tells this parable to the crowd that he's having a meal with, and then in verse 12, he turns to the man who's hosting this feast, the man who had invited Jesus, and he says this: "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, those who are near you on the social ladder, because they'll also invite you in return and you'll be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Take the lower seat by elevating others. Take the lower seat by including the excluded, by giving a place for those who don't have a place in the kingdoms of this world. Take the lower seat by elevating others. This is another prominent theme throughout the Gospel of Luke, and this prominent theme in this great inversion, this upside-down, right-sided kingdom that Jesus came to bring. Listen to one of the early times that Jesus speaks about his ministry publicly. I love this account in Luke chapter 4. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. And as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue for worship on the Sabbath day. And Jesus stood up to read. And a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus. He took it, he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. And he said this, quoting Isaiah: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I imagine everyone in the synagogue watching Jesus intently. And so Luke tells us that he rolled back up the scroll, he gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. What is he going to say? And Jesus began to say to them, this is all that he says: "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." "I have come," Jesus says, "to bring this kingdom. I have come to proclaim good news to the poor." Jesus says elsewhere throughout his ministry, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." This is the kingdom of God. So when you host a banquet, when you host a feast, don't invite your wealthy friends who are above you on the social ladder. "I've come to undo the social ladders of your kingdoms." Instead, invite, as Simon and Garfunkel say, the sat upon, the spat upon, and the ratted on. Sure, they can't pay you back. They won't be able to invite you in return, but that's not how the economics of my kingdom, Jesus says, that's not how the economics of my kingdom works. C.S. Lewis says that next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. So Jesus comes to usher in this new kingdom where people are rightly valued as image bearers of God. So look at someone and behold an image bearer of God. And when you do, you'll elevate others. You'll include the excluded. A few weeks ago, I was in downtown Atlanta, and I was walking along, and a man approached me and asked me for help. We've all been in that situation. And so what did I do as a priest, as a minister in God's church? I sort of shrugged him off and continued on my way. And moments later, I was genuinely convicted. I felt genuine conviction from the Lord, and I was thinking about how that man is an image bearer of God. And I didn't respect him, I disrespected him. I wasn't present with him, I simply shrugged him off and rushed on my way. And so I confessed and reminded myself of the forgiveness that I have in Jesus, and God was generous to give me another chance very quickly. And so moments later, another man approached me asking me for help. And this time I stopped what I was doing and I was present with him and I looked at him in the eyes. And I reminded myself, this is an image bearer of God. And we talked, I helped him as much as I could, we shook hands, and I walked away from that encounter, that moment, with this sense of, that was a holy moment, that was sacred, that was divine, that was special. And it was, because like C.S. Lewis says, next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. So this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's upside down. It's right side up, contrary to the values of our world. So learn from King Jesus today and enjoy the good life, life in the life of God, life in God's kingdom. And living life in his kingdom, take the lower seat. Take the lower seat by following the king and knowing your place and elevating others. And my prayer, my genuine hope and desire is that as we do that more and more, our neighbors and our friends and our families will be intrigued by our otherworldliness, our other kingdomliness, and many people will be drawn into this good kingdom, all to the praise and glory of our King Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.